Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What are your plans after the show ends?
I want an activity that involves jumping. I want a mystery activity. I want some reflection time.
Maybe you're an extraterrestrial, escaped from a government facility.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The GOP debate tonight is getting nasty.
Carson was in a conference room at the Embassy Suites where he laid out a clear and upbeat vision for his campaign going forward.
Right now we're sort of in the ancient Rome stage where everybody wanted to go to the Colosseum and, oh, bring on the lions and the tigers and let's see them eat the people, you know? I mean, this was cool. This is what they wanted while Rome was burning. And, you know, right now we're in that stage, okay? But we have a bunch of fire extinguishers and we are going to put the fire out. And we're going to put the fire in our bellies.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, what?
What the hell is that? And apparently the fire was not in his pants tonight. It was definitely in Donald Trump's and I guess Ted Cruz's during the GOP debate. What the hell? It sounded like it went nuts.
All right, look, it was like an episode of the Jerry Springer Show, and I've been in the audience. I'd covered a story in Chicago, went behind the scenes at the Jerry Springer Show.
I know this Jerry well.
What it sounded like. Yeah, he's a good guy. But Donald Trump was just on fire tonight. I want you to hear this soundbite. Of course, he's been critical of Marco Rubio for basically not being able to think fast on his feet, that he's got set talking points and he can't really, you know, again, think fast on his feet. Listen to this.
I really find it amazing that Donald believes that he is the one who discovered the issue of illegal immigration. I can tell you when I ran.
Are we going to?
You know what? It is the. Where are we? It's the second one. It's the second one.
Second
soundbite.
Okay.
Talking about repeating. I watched him repeat himself 5 times 4 weeks ago.
And I saw you repeat yourself 5 times 5 seconds ago.
I watched him. Meltdown on the stage like I've never seen anybody.
Let's talk about your plan. I see him repeat himself every night. It says 5 things. Everyone's dumb. He's going to make America great
Senator
again.
Rubio.
We're going to win.
Senator
He's
Rubio,
winning
please.
In the polls.
It's all true.
And
please
the
stop.
Lines around the state. Every night.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Well, that's basically what you call the inmates running the asylum. It was back and forth all night long. Trump was all over Ted Cruz for not being able to basically win the room. He says, you know, I've got multiple United States senators backing me. You don't have one, not one, and you were in the Senate. What was also interesting is, and we heard part of that soundbite, was Cruz was lashing back at Trump over, you know, they've got this sort of dueling opinion about, you know, dealing with illegals. They both want to deport 11 million of them. But Cruz is like, well, you know, Donald talks about, you know, like he's the one that's, you know, invented this whole idea. And of course, you know, he lashes out at him on this. But I love this final sound, this final soundbite. Trump is, this is Wolf Blitzer posing a question to Donald Trump about the wall that both he and Cruz want to build on the Mexico border.
The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, he said today, and I'm quoting him, he said, I'm not going to pay for that, quote, effing wall.
Oh, my God.
How are you going to make them pay for the wall?
I will, and the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me.
That is classic. Well, boy, we'll have parody on that tomorrow. My producers are going to be very busy overnight.
That's just hilarious stuff. But, you know, the question then becomes, if you're, you know, starting to get serious about this, do you want that guy in charge of the button, the so-called button?
Oh, well, I can't stand Ted Cruz. It's one of those things.
You know what? What's interesting, though, and I'm going to get political here for a second, is that there are some fairly influential members of the Republican Party that are starting to warm up to Donald Trump as the nominee. I think it's inevitable.
Well, I guess they better, yes.
Yeah, that's an about face.
Right.
But it's like, maybe it's the lesser of how many evils, or maybe not. I mean, but that's what, those are the cards they're dealt.
That's what this whole election seems like. So I did not get to watch. It was on the monitor. And by the way, there were no radio rights tonight, so that's why it was not aired. Having said that, I mean, it was Kasich. Did Kasich have anything to say?
Well,
did,
you know, actually,
Ben Carson have anything to say?
Well, I did. No Ben Carson, but Kasich. You know, the last Republican moderate in the race, he sought to appeal to the third soundbite.
I don't think we're going to tear families apart. I don't think we're going to ride around in people's neighborhoods and grab people out of their homes. First of all, I don't think it's practical, and I don't think it reflects America. But at the end of the day, let's be practical. Let's start solving problems in this country instead of kicking them upstairs and...
Well, of course, he's again talking about immigration. That was a hot-button issue
right.
tonight. And, you know, there are plenty of people, John Rothman here at KGO, who said for months that he thought that Kasich, you know, had some staying power. You know, that may have been true in New Hampshire, but, you know, again, Super Tuesday's coming up, and that is really sort of the make or break, the watershed moment for many of these candidates.
Well, sure, and they're looking for people like Kasich and Carson to drop out so that they can narrow it down and see who's really going to play in the big boys club. I don't know if Kasich takes Ohio. That may change things up.
That's his home state, right?
Right, yeah. So, but my God, this fight in Texas is just amazing. So many delegates at stake here on Super Tuesday. Ted Cruz's stomping grounds, and Trump's ahead, right?
Yes, he is ahead. And again, we're talking about a dozen states and a territory on Tuesday. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. Kasich might win Ohio, but he might lose badly everywhere else.
Right, right.
But, you know, I mean, let's face it. Donald Trump is the guy with the momentum. He's the guy leading in the polls. And Hillary Clinton is widening her lead over Bernie. And, you know, this is how it's looking. It's looking like we're angling towards Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton November election.
I have to tell you, I heard a wild rumor today that Hillary Clinton is secretly talking with Michael Bloomberg about talking about the, you know, running together. He would be the vice presidential candidate.
That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Because let's say he's a moderate Republican.
Yes.
And, you know, let's face it, this country and even this state has decided that it wants more moderate politicians.
I agree.
It doesn't want extremists to the left and extremists to the right, which is where, you know, and Michael Bloomberg is a Republican. And so wouldn't that be amazing? He, though, and, you know, we don't know how much traction this has gotten, but he's talked about running as an independent candidate. Of course, both parties are going to work overtime to try and talk him out of that. But, that sounds like a great running mate.
I don't think that he wants to do that. He said before that he would not do that for sure.
You mean run as an independent?
Right, right, right. I mean, it's very, very expensive. I know this guy's got tons of money, but it just doesn't work out.
Well, and you really don't have a chance to win. What you have a chance to do is derail a candidate. I mean, Ross Perot, you know, the talk for, you know, 20-some-odd years has been that Ross Perot cost Bush Sr. re-election.
Absolutely.
In 92,
right.
91.
Yeah, because that was the problem if Bloomberg were to run as an independent, that he would derail the whole thing and Trump would definitely be the president. So,
you think?
Well, that was
chatter
if it splits the Democratic Party.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right, everybody. We're doing the Trumpty dance. That's right. So hang on because...
When do we beat Mexico at the border?
Well,
they're bringing drugs.
Yeah.
They're bringing crime.
They know, right?
They're rapists.
Yes.
And some, I assume, are good people.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the presidential style that you're used to. My hair's funny, but y'all made up money, see? And my show was the best on TV, let me tell you. My words may repel you, my vision for America to sell you. Trying to buy the White House with all my wealth? First, let me introduce myself. My name is Trumpty, pronounced with a umpty. Illegals? Oh, how I like to thump thee. And to all the other candidates, please allow me to bump thee. I build a wall, y'all, to control immigration.
10 feet higher after
Stop
tonight.
Rapists from invading our nation. I'm the best. Don't think you can beat me. And if you don't agree, you can open up and eat me. I'm sick with this. I'm just talking smack. Sometimes I sound ridiculous. My plan and execution is meticulous. And my catchphrase...
You're fired.
...is ubiquitous. I'm pushy. My eyebrows are bushy. My supermodel wife has got a nice tushy. I'm a freak. Comb my hair with a broom. I once got busy in the Trump Tower boardroom. I'm direct. say what I think. And I think that this country is right on the brink. Now I'm just a candidate and wanting a chance. Even got my own dance.
The Trumpy dance is your chance. To
is Trumpy
like
dance
Trump.
Pants on fire
I think
tonight?
China all the time.
Yeah, I know.
$5 billion we spent on a website. I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
Ran away with the debate this evening.
A great wall, and nobody builds walls
10 feet higher as of tonight.
The greatest jobs president that God ever created. And we will make America great again.
Thank you very much. Rinse, lather, repeat. All right, time to talk about Apple and trouble with the government once again with Ken Wisniewski. Wisniewski, got that right.
Wisniewski, yeah.
Okay, web entrepreneur and founder and CEO of Webimax. Do I have that right? Webimax. Okay, I got it. Can't see my notes. They're on the other side of the room. Okay, I'll be right back and we'll discuss what's going on with Apple. Well, you know what's going on with Apple, but we'll get some opinions. So don't go away. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. And besides the Republican debate, which we'll get back to later on, everybody here in the Bay is for sure and around the country talking about the Apple battle with the government. And Ken Wisniewski is my guest, and he is the founder and CEO of Webimax. And thank you very much for joining me, Ken. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. So as Apple continues to fight back with the FBI requests, calling it unconstitutional, while here in Silicon Valley, the tech world, I mean, the support is pouring in for Tim Cook and all things Apple. Microsoft announced its decision to back Apple in its legal battle, along with Facebook, Google, and Amazon. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's a really tough question because it's a matter of distinguishing between privacy and security. And I think that the reality is that there's a general distrust along the lines of what the government is actually going to do with that information if they're able to start to gain access.
Exactly. Okay, so when I had, I don't know if you know Eric Schiffer, but he's a financial guy, and I had him on last hour, and even though he supports Apple in their business model, he does not support them in this particular case. Now, Apple is saying this is a matter of the Constitution. The FBI says it's a matter of national security. Now, you know, I think from the very get-go, and I wonder if you agree, that the government and San Bernardino, they botched this entire investigation. This guy who committed this horrendous crime and this terrorist act in San Bernardino, he had a San Bernardino public phone. I mean, he had one of their phones. So they took it, and they fooled around with it, and they gave it to the FBI. They did something else, allegedly, and they screwed up the code. And so they should have just taken it from this. So the whole thing was botched from the beginning.
No, it's true. And I think that this is a challenge that we're seeing a lot now in the fact that the quote-unquote bad guys are more sophisticated technology-wise than the people that are trying to stop them. And that's becoming a bigger and bigger issue. When we see scenarios play out like this, it's clear that things were unfortunately botched, and it puts you in the situation that we're in right now.
Ken Wisniewski is my guest, and I have to go back to some of the tweets that are rolling in here at Generation Drex. You know, and one of them is, look, this encryption battle has been going on behind the scenes with the government war versus the Silicon Valley for years, and this is their chance to take them down. Do you agree with any of that? I mean, it's a little conspiracy theory stuff, but nonetheless, it makes me scratch my head.
I think it's just such the type of case that's gained such notoriety because of just the level of an atrocity that it was, that it allows it to be played out a bit more where people could pose the question that Apple or any tech company that isn't allowing access is some way impeding the security of our nation. And I think that they're really two separate things, and I do think it provides them with an opportunity or a path to paint that picture.
Well, I was really confused today when the FBI Director James Comey said to the House panel that he doesn't fully understand Apple's opposition to the San Bernardino case. And I'm thinking to myself, what part of it don't you understand? Now, you guys have had to have been talking to them from the get-go on this. And he went on to say, this is a single phone in a very important investigation. Okay, so, you know, the question is there. why can't they just unlock this one phone and give them back to them? Well, I think the answer is and seems to be in my mind and a lot of other people's mind is because the government will reverse engineer this. And once they know how they opened it, they'll know.
They'll know. And then it becomes a bigger problem because that opens the access to a lot more data that's out there on phones, and also potentially, again, while I think it's more along the lines of the worst case scenario, it could get in the wrong people's hands as well, and it could be used for even greater things than, you know, worse things than we're talking about here. So I think that's the level of the concern is once something's reverse engineered, what actually becomes of that? Does that become now an epidemic where this is something that can be repeated time and time again? It seems to me that's been Apple's stance.
Right. Very, very nefarious things going on. You know, one of the things I heard on Fox today was this discussion that, hey, the New York Police Department has been trying to get into and settle many cases or investigate many cases, and they need to break this encryption. And, you know, it was brought up on The Five, and I thought to myself, well, there you have it. You know, nothing against the New York City Police Department or anything, but if they want it, then every other local yokel in the country is going to want the methodology to get into phones.
No, it's true. And again, obviously, New York and some of the big major metro cities that we deal with are obviously much more concerned or more viable targets for any type of terrorism. So they're viewed a little bit differently. But at the same time, you're right. If you allow access to New York City, where does the access stop? And obviously, I think we've seen more than enough scenarios that would lead us to believe that once you kind of allow that, it becomes abused.
Okay, so we'll talk about the back door on the other side of the newscast, and we are continuing our conversation with Ken Wisniewski, and he is the founder and CEO of WebbyMax, so he knows all things tech. And if you have any questions, or you disagree or you agree with Apple and their motion to deny the FBI access to the back door, 808-0810 is the number, 808-0810 to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, and we are talking about Apple's motion to deny the FBI. But by the way, they are now backed by Google, Microsoft, Amazon, all stepping up to the plate with Apple and saying, look, this is quite a dilemma. And Apple says this is a matter of the Constitution. The FBI today says it's a matter of national security. So there are millions of possible courses this can take. This case in its earliest stage, and these type of things could go back and forth amongst the courts for months, if not years. Ken Wisniewski is my guest, and he is the founder and CEO of WebbyMax. Ken, so we're talking about the back door, and I have a caller here, Richard from Santa Cruz. What did you want to say about the government?
Well, I think the government is encroaching on Apple's key product design feature of advanced encryption. In other words, they've developed advanced encryption. Perhaps the FBI, my belief is, they want to grab that encryption knowledge for their own private use, their own departmental use, whereby they could gain access through the NSA, because they've got supposedly the best experts in the world on encryption. So for the government to take that, it's an illegal seizure.
Okay, Ken.
Of their private design feature.
All right, thank you very much. Ken, your thoughts?
I think that's a very valid point, and I think the notion is that a lot of, you know, when we get beyond just the security issue here and we look at the fact that the type of engineering and cost that's gone into that type of encryption that Apple has, to just kind of give that away is also concerning beyond just the fact that it could be utilized in other places. It's also a proprietary piece of what Apple is. So I do agree with that. And unfortunately, I think, again, you know, the government utilizing it, the concern is they're going to use it just above and beyond this particular scenario.
And I have to tell you, so, you know, we're not, and I certainly want these people, if there's anybody beyond involved with ISIS, well, obviously we want them taken down. And it's just a damn shame that this this single device was not turned over immediately, and instead of it, the whole thing being botched by San Bernardino and allegedly the FBI. But the backdoor thing, I have to say, I mean, come on, all of us who have Apple products, why do we love our Apple products? Well, because they're fantastic, first of all, but because we trust them and they're safe. And so just as the last gentleman said, and what Ken is saying, I'm so concerned with our own security. And Tim Cook talked about this last night with David Muir on ABC News. This is not only a private, sector, private, I don't know, policy thing, but it's for the public's own safety and protection. And giving them the back door is akin to cancer. Would you agree with that?
It is. It's just opening up the door, and that's the biggest concern. And I completely agree with you as well that I think everybody agrees if there's ways that we can stop any type of potential terrorist attacks, everyone's interested in doing that. But I think at the same time, is this truly the right approach? And if things were handled correctly to begin with, that information would have been able to have been received. So I think that there's a lot of things at play here, and it's not a simple fact that Apple's being uncooperative.
Right, and I once again, I defer to watching The Five on Fox today and them saying, I have nothing to hide. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. In my mind, that's garbage, because the next thing you know, and we've thought this all along, we all sometimes think like conspiracy theorists, is that camera watching me? Is Siri really listening? And now I think I'm pretty sure that I know that it's not. But if the government gets this knowledge and then it falls into the naughty guy's hands, they very, very well could be watching and listening.
Now, it's true, and that's definitely the concern, and I think we've found that, unfortunately, I think things that were maybe initially derived as being good ideas somehow turn a little bit, and there's the notion, well, we can use it for this and for that, and I think that that's something that we've seen with some of the statements that Bill Gates have said, really discerning the difference between the security aspect and the privacy aspect, and, he's tried to clarify his standpoint on it. That, he's, really, concerned, obviously interested in helping protect anyone from any type of, terrorist event, but at the same time, concerned about the privacy.
So how do you think this will play out constitutionally? I mean, where is this going? Is it going to end up in the Supreme Court?
I think at some point, Apple's probably going to be put in a position that they're probably going to end up having to do turn over the encryption and reverse engineer it.
Wow. Okay. So here's another school of thought. Okay. So just hand over give them the key, give them the back door that they want, and then let them open up this one device. And here's a business model I want to run by you. So then everybody's phone, and by the way, Apple is already kind of stuttering with their, everything's kind of stalling with the iPhone sales. So yep. You hand it over. Okay. We give up. We raise the white Apple flag. Here's your code. This is how you do it. And then they build a new Apple 7 phone with a brand new encryption. And then we all have to go buy one.
Yes. There's notions, if we're going to talk on the business side, there's notions out there that, Apple makes it difficult to view different things, speed of, kind of timing when things are actually loading on your phones. If you have older phones, slowing it down even more, so you're compelled to have to go out and get newer and newer versions of the phone because you're just upset with the performance that you're getting with it. So, I do feel strongly that certainly this case wouldn't be the way they would have probably planned that. But ultimately, I think if they do turn over the encryption, unfortunately, it's a weird way to go about it, but there could be benefit for them in that.
Right. It's kind of a crazy thing. I wonder how that would play out legally. So let's say that they did do that and they're behind closed doors right now in Cupertino talking about it. Okay, guys, let's give them we're going to lose this. So let's give them the backdoor key. And then let's build a bigger, better model and not let them in. Now, do you think that that would play out legally if they came up with a brand new encryption technology for an iPhone 7, do you think the courts would say, you know, don't try that. Don't play. That's not going to work.
No, I think that they would have a better chance of getting by with that if they gave up the encryption for this right now. And I think that the reality of it is that there needs to be better protocol for how these scenarios are going to be handled by law enforcement in the future, so things aren't quote unquote bungled at the earlier stages. So we're not coming up to scenarios, you know, where this is kind of the end all be all.
Right.
Look, I do think nowadays the reality of it is we've gotten more advanced with encryption, and we've gotten to the point that we can increase privacy. It also works. It does work against us in some respects, in the fact that that's been, you know, some of the ways or means by which some of these terrorist attacks have taken place. They're utilizing that, and that's been, you know, it's the double-edged sword.
Well, it's a very interesting case, and we'll see how it plays out. And we're certainly keeping our eyes and ears peeled here in Silicon Valley, the center of the universe for all things tech. Ken Wisniewski is my guest, and I thank you very much. He's the CEO of Webimax. Thank you, sir, and have a good rest of the week and a good weekend.
You too. Thank you very much for the time.
You bet. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. We're going to talk about the People versus O.J. Simpson for a second. And, I have some fun things to say, and then we have some corrections to make. And Christopher Darden weighed in today. He's not digging it. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
What's wrong with being confident?
I can tell you what's wrong with me. Damn, Daniel, those Vans. Oh, my God, that won't stop playing in my damn head.
Damn, Daniel.
This thing's got like 60 million hits.
Back at it again with the white van. Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white vans. Dusty, man. Damn. Daniel.
These kids from Santa Rosa, 14 and 15-year-olds, just started doing these things with the damn Daniels, those vans. Obviously, the shoes. And so Ellen gives the damn Daniel guy a lifetime supply of Vans shoes.
It was just out of nowhere. I just came up out of Daniel after school. I was just like, all right, I'm going to post this on my Snapchat story. So I took a video of him. I was just like, damn, Daniel, just out of nowhere. And it was just, everyone started to love it.
I know you love surfing, right?
Yeah, surf,
so
skate.
I got you a surfboard that I think you're going to like a whole lot. Look at it.
What? No way.
All right, thank so that's a nice surfboard for you. And you love
Stop.
Vans. So
dude.
Our friends at Vans are giving you a lifetime supply of shoes.
Damn, Daniel, that's a lot of effing Vans.
Damn, Daniel.
And I got the stinking surfboard, yeah.
Damn, Daniel.
Damn. That's what Christopher Darden's saying about that damn People versus O.J. Simpson show. My God, David Schwimmer, who's playing Robert Kardashian on the People versus O.J. Simpson, seems like he says juice a lot. Do you think so? Speaking of things that are viral, somebody posted a video montage today. Listen to this.
You got it, Juice. When Chris and I broke up, the Juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the Juice anymore. We gotta get you dressed, Juice. A Will? Juice. Come on, Juice. It's AC. AC's here.
Juice. I heard Juice. It's on every channel. You know I feel the same, Juice.
You're gonna tell them yourself, Juice. Juice. Your whole family's here, Juice. She's on the house phone waiting to talk to you, Juice.
Juice.
Okay, Juice.
Okay, Juice. We're good to go.
You're home, Juice.
You know Uncle Juice and your Uncle Juice. Uncle Juice is a good man.
He's never going to stop being the Juice.
It could explain a lot, Juice.
Just hear him out, Juice.
He's right, Juice.
Listen, Juice. Juice, this is your life.
Juice, please, Juice. Juice, we need an answer.
Okay, look, people, this is like The Bachelor featuring O.J. Simpson. I'm just saying. I mean, you just can't help yourself. Bring on another jug of wine. I mean, it's just... it's outrageously addictive. I don't know what to tell you. I've been sucked in. I can't get it out of my brain. It's like the damn Vans, a damn Daniel. Okay, so I think that, let me see if I can get this to work here without the damn ads popping up all over the place. Okay, Rolling Stone did this piece today, And a couple things here that I want to talk about. First of all, I think I saw this. I don't know where I saw it, but they were talking to Christopher Darden, one of the prosecutors, okay, along with Marsha Clark, during the real case. And he said, you know, I'm not watching it because, quite frankly, the guys who produced and put this show together are, here it comes, they're all white guys. And did they consult Christopher Darden about anything to do with this television series? No, they did not, which I find shocking. I'm not surprised about the all white guys thing. I mean, hashtag Oscars so white, right? Hashtag Simpsons so white. Well, he really was kind of, wasn't he? Just saying. Okay, now, so here's what Rolling Stone did. The People versus O.J. Simpson, Episode 4, our fact-checking recap. Let's take a look. The defense blocked the prosecution at every turn. Yes. One of the best scenes in this week's episode happens during the preliminary hearing when Sarah Paulson's Marsha Clark and Courtney B. Vance's Johnny Cochran tee off against each other for the first time. It's brilliance from the subtle way that Cochran undermined Clark's composure. And she asked for, you know, a standard hair sample. He becomes flabbergasted, okay? I mean, that's one. The next one is the prosecution accepted Donald Vinson's pro bono jury research. I mean, if you watch this like most of us did intensely in 95, it just all comes rolling back. And then the other fact check is, and Marsha Clark did not like the results. As Clark says in the show, she knew who to go for. Black women liked her. She'd taken on many clients, and some continued to send her letters long after their cases were closed. There were a segment of the population who were disproportionately affected by domestic violence, so they would relate to Nicole's situation. Or so she thought. Didn't work out that way. And the other fact check is, from Rolling Stone, is Faye Resnick writes a book and brings it to the trial and brings the trial to a halt. Okay, well, and then Robert Shapiro suggested an alternative theory that would lead to a settlement by admitting that O.J. did it. Didn't know that. All very interesting, though. But, you know, and here's the other thing that has been the big discussion, besides the fact that, you know, of course, this was all produced by all white guys, and why wasn't people, or why weren't people like Christopher Darden consulted on this? Well, they would say, well, it's the drama. You know, that's what it is. So mind your own business, Drex. But the other chit-chat about this is, and I can't wait to talk to Lisa Durden about this next week, is this portrayal that all African-Americans in 1995, all of them, supposedly, were on O.J.'s side. And all white people wanted him to be found guilty of first-degree murder. That's not the case. It's just not. I mean, to make that blanket statement and to show it that way on television, it seems to be misleading. So some people are, you know, finding that pill hard to swallow. But nonetheless, damn, Daniel, those damn Vans. If you haven't watched it, it's worth getting yourself sucked into because I love it. I mean, you know, it just comes rolling on back. It's just very interesting to roll back to 1995. And there you have it. All right, I got a break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk to Johnny Funsheep with the fun stuff coming up. And then John Lobertini will join us again in the news from the KGO Newsroom to talk about the fireworks that were the GOP-Republican debate before Super Tuesday tonight. I mean, this one should have registered on some Richter scales around the Bay. Honestly, it was off the hook. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.